Wasabi goes with sushi like chopsticks, soy sauce and pickled ginger. It's the innocuous looking green paste nestled on the plate or box that widens the nostrils and delivers a good old kick to the palate. But most of the wasabi we eat in this country, or buy in tubes at the supermarket, is not really wasabi. No, it's a mix of horseradish, mustard, food colouring and artificial wasabi flavouring. Just have a look at the label. The real McCoy is a rhizome. It's a bit like a root that you grate, traditionally, on a piece of shark skin, and then you eat it with your sushi. Meet Fenton Wood. He's an ex-policeman growing wasabi in Christchurch.
The leaves are actually quite nice. They're very decorative. In the summertime, they'll grow out to, or not even the summertime, more in the wintertime, they grow out to about the size of a dinner plate. The leaf doesn't have a lot of pungency. And the other thing you have to know about wasabi is it's actually a defence mechanism that produces the isothiocyanates that gives you the punch.
Isothiocyanates,
yeah. Sounds like you're trying to poison somebody, but you're not. In actual fact, it's not a sort of a gullet-burning sensation. It's more a bang at the back of your nasal passages. It sort of hits you in the back of your mouth rather than anything else. And once it's done it, it's over. It's not like a pepper that sort of repeats on you. And
now, and that, yeah. It's the punchiness is down in the root here. It's not in the leaf.
Well, as I was saying, it's actually the plant's defence mechanism. If it gets damaged, that's when the isothiocyanates are actually formed. So if you just grabbed a leaf and chewed it, you wouldn't think it was much different to grass. But if you chew it slowly, it gradually builds that punch or the thing. So yeah, there we are. As I say, these ones are fairly new, and that one doesn't look that great, but it'll do.
And just have a go at describing this plant here for us, because it looks sort of lily-ish, or not lily, but sort of lily pad-ish. I don't know,
It transpires very, very quickly, so it has a large leaf that you've got to keep the water supply up to it. It's exactly the same plant whether you grow it in running water or in soil, and the Japanese will grow it in both. Probably originally it was grown in mountain streams at high altitudes, and this is the one thing that it really doesn't like is heat. So
hence the shade cloth. I mean, we're still under, yep. How big is this space here?
About 80 by 60 metres.
And it's covered in shade cloth.
Yeah. And normally on a day like today, if there's a little bit more wind, it would have a nice whistling sound going through it. So you get a lot of little rhizomes popping off the side. That's okay. Tucked in underneath all of that is the rhizome that you would take to the table. And a true Japanese, that needs to be washed, of course, and a few of the smaller roots taken off the bottom. They would take that rhizome to the table and scrape it on a shark skin, and we'll maybe do that later on. But that's your wasabi rhizome, and you can smell a certain amount of the pungency beginning to form just where you've broken it. So what you do when you scrape it on a shark skin scraper is you're grinding it very, very finely, and you're making all that pungency develop all at once.
So it has to be released from the cell, so when you break the cellular structure of the plant, you then get this release of the pungency.
Yeah, exactly.
And the root there is about the size of a yam, isn't it?
Yes.
It's about the size of an index finger. Yep. It's thicker at one end. It tapers down like the classic sort of turnip carrot shape.
Yes. Now, it's important to realise it's a rhizome. A lot of people misunderstand it and think it's a horseradish. A horseradish has a taproot, and a horseradish takes about 6 months to grow, I suppose, or just one season, and then you can harvest it. This actually lies on top of the ground. A rhizome, technically I think it's a swollen stem.
But it's not a root, is it?
No, the roots come off it here. But yes, it's in the same family as, it's a brassica, it's in the same family as broccoli and cauliflower.
So take me through the growing season then. How long does it take to hit?
Well, this one's only been growing for a year. We won't harvest this bed yet for probably another 18
months. For a year already?
Months.
So, yeah. And another 18 months till you harvest?
Well, no, 18 months to 2 years is the cycle. So it's another 6 months to 12 months before we'll actually harvest all of this.
So you're tying up your ground for quite a while there.
Yeah, you're also running a lot of risk that bacteria and fungi and foamers will come sneaking across the ground and attack it.
So you lose quite a bit of your crop?
Not too bad, actually. In the past, other growers have found that they have lost up to 20%. I don't think we would be as high as that. We just work on the basis that if we get the soil really healthy and really fertile. You get a good healthy plant and it protects itself from all the stuff. The worst thing that happens to it here in Canterbury is it gets too hot in the summertime, hence all the irrigation and the shade cloth.
And do you have to water it regularly? I mean, the fact that it is traditionally grown in mountain streams, does that mean that it has to have wet feet all the time?
It has to have wet feet. It doesn't like boggy wet feet. It's got to have nice, fresh, oxygenated water. So we mould up the beds as high as we can and we water as frequently as we can, especially over the summertime. But even then you get a little bit of a problem. But we don't actually use any insecticides or any fungicides, and that's kind of nice.
So the variety that we have here, where has this come from? Where did you get your stock, your root stock? Is that what they call it?
Originally there was a few growers in New Zealand, and Crop and Food also did some research on it, and I actually inherited, or they kindly gave me the about five or six different varieties which we've tried. Some of them are better than others.
Am I right in thinking then it is mainly going to Japan? This is an export crop?
It is an export, and Japan would be the smallest person that receives it. We find that it's really well accepted by the European chefs and those sort of foodie people that enjoy that sort of stuff. They've tried the artificial stuff that you get in the tube or you get at the sushi bar.
What do you mean by artificial stuff, though, there? I mean, when you get that green splodge of what some people think is avocado and get a very hot surprise, that green paste that people mix with soy and dip their sushi in, is that not wasabi?
No, you're dead right. The tube that you buy in the supermarket hasn't got any wasabi in it whatsoever.
It's got wasabi written on the tube, though.
I know, yes.
What is it, then?
They admit themselves, they call it Japanese horseradish, but the reality is it's mostly horseradish, and it's just the same sort of horseradish that you and I could grow quite easily. What you find with the chemical stuff or the artificial stuff is that when you taste it, it's usually incredibly hot. You put a pinhead on your sushi or whatever it is, and it just blows your mind away. With the artificial stuff, you have a sort of a chemical, almost metallic sort of taste left in your mouth at the end of it. Ours is very fresh, very clean, and, you know, almost a plant-like thing. We'll have to get you to try it.
Let's have a try, because we've got a pottle of it over here. In fact, we've got a rhizome here.
Yeah.
This is the pure stuff, and do you actually export it in this form as this cleaned rhizome?
Yeah, we've tried. It's very, very difficult. Because it's so gnarly and ugly looking, they tend to think that it must have a lot of bacteria hiding in it. The reality is, when you put the wasabi in the jar, it kills all the bacteria.
You make a more stable product by processing it, sticking it in a jar, and then you've got some stability there, packaging, and easier to get through borders.
Exactly, yeah. We sent some to a Chicago restaurant that was really keen, sent it as fast as we could and paid a lot of money, and about 6 weeks later it came back because they wouldn't let it through the border. And it was disappointing to the restaurant and, of course, disappointing to us. And but here we are. We've got a shark skin grater, and that's a traditional...
That's shark skin, is it?
Yeah, it's just a little wooden piece of wood with a piece of shark skin stuck to it.
Looks like a mini sort of grater, doesn't it, with a little bit of Japanese text there on the top.
Yep. You can do it with a lemon rind grinder thing, a zest grinder, I think they're called.
I'll put my hand out.
No, that's all right. It won't go anywhere. And with a bit of luck, we'll get a biscuit from over here, will we? Yeah.
Oh, look.
Now, it does have a certain amount of green, but not quite the same as what you'd get on the thing.
The sushi stuff sort of vibrates.
Here we are, and hang on. Try that, and lead us through it.
Oh.
If it gets too hot for you, just breathe in through your nose, because it's actually titillating the sense buds at the back of your nasal passage.
That's incredible. It's very delicate, and it came on sort of...
Takes a wee while to build.
But then the minute I did that breathing through the nose, it dissipated, it's gone.
Yeah.
And I'm left with a... Let me have another little dip, actually, because that's quite an interesting sensation. I don't think that...
Yeah, and it's a one-off hit. Once you've had it, it's all gone, and you haven't got any sensation afterwards of it going down your gullet.
No, there's no burning.
No. And you've had a quarter of a teaspoonful?
Yeah.
Yeah. If I gave you a full teaspoonful, you'd...
Bit of a cough there.
You'd probably hit me, but...
So in a Japanese restaurant, this is traditionally how the wasabi was served. They'd come to your table with one of these little shark skin grinders and...
And they'll do it at the table the same way as... we might put pepper on something. That
how do you get it into the ground? Is it, do you plant a seed, or do you take a slice of a rod? Do you take a bit of a rhizome and stick that? How do you
usually small seedlings?
Seedlings.
Yeah.
So you can, and you prick those through in a seed, in a greenhouse.
We do a bit of both. We do grow some seedlings, but when you harvest a plant, there's always a lot of small plants on the side as well. So there's no reason why you can't use those, providing they're nice and clean and healthy.
And it's a fully manual process harvesting. You don't
very, very, very manual.
Right.
You see. In fact, you know, we've weeded this patch already 4 times this summer.
Cheers, Fenton. Fenton Wood from Coppers Folly Wasabi in Christchurch.